Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Derry. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Alibaba and doing a real deep dive on the company. They obviously just went public in the largest IPO in not just e-commerce history, but in history overall. And I really want to not just talk about the IPO, but talk about who they are, what they do. A lot of people, I think, know them for their site, Alibaba.com here in the US, but there's so much more to the company, as I alluded to earlier this month in an episode with Drew. So we're going to be diving into that. And joining me to talk about that, which I'm excited about since he's got some financial chops that I'm excited to really leverage for this, Mr. Bill D'Alessandro. Bill, welcome.
How's it going? Nice to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. And congratulations on OrderCircle.com. You launched this new SaaS app this week. I didn't even know you were working on a SaaS app. And then I get this email in my inbox about this new business that you just threw up, or you didn't throw up, but it's just very cool. Can you talk about it a little bit? Like, what is it?
So OrderCircle is, when you think about how easy it is to accept orders, B2C orders through something like Shopify, OrderCircle tries to bring that simplicity to B2B orders. So it's a SaaS app that helps brands, people that sell products that want to sell wholesale, it helps them accept wholesale orders much more easily. And it grew out of my own pain that I had. So for a reminder for the listeners, I own a couple different brands of personal care products, shampoo, sunscreen, things like that. And we're starting to sell wholesale. And the way we've been doing it now is we just have an Excel order form and we email it to people and they fill out the Excel sheet of what they want and they email it back. And then we kind of press print and print a PDF invoice and send it back to them. It's a real pain in the butt. I'm big on automation, so I really wanted a better way to do it. So I hired a developer. I have a guy I work with regularly, and we started to build it internally. Well, first, before we started building internally, I went out there and looked, is there anything that does this? I couldn't find anything that did essentially e-commerce for B2B, for generating invoices, things like that. So I built it for myself. And then about 20% of the way through, I realized that, hey, maybe I should build this in such a way that other people can use it. And so that's what we just launched yesterday, OrderCircle.com.
That's really cool. And how long did it take you from idea to getting it live?
So probably about 6 months ago, I realized that I needed something like this. And then I spent about 2 months looking at all the other software products out there. I got trials of all of them. I called all their sales teams and I realized that nothing was really going to do it. And so about 4 months ago, that's when I really hired the developer and I said, let's build it. So almost exactly 4 months.
Awesome. Well, congratulations and welcome to the world of SaaS and membership and churn analysis. That's something I've had the joy of looking into with the private community over the past year.
Yes.
So very cool. So today's discussion, we're going to be talking about Alibaba. And just for sake of context, of course, again, Alibaba went public, like I mentioned at the very top, biggest IPO ever in history. And I want to really give people a sense of what the company is. One, quick history primer on them so you have an idea of who they are. Because when I didn't know nearly how deep this company went when I started diving in. So talk about quickly where they came from, really talk about their mission, how the company's different, their different business segments. And at the very end, this is what I'm probably most excited to talk about, Bill, is the investment thesis. Are they a good company to invest in? What's going to happen in the future with them? And that should be fun to talk about. I had a chance to dive into when a company goes public, they issue something called an S1 and their final document is called a 424. It's a prospectus that has tons of just mostly really boring, but a lot of potentially nuggets of information. Bill, have you dug into a prospectus anytime recently since your finance days?
Yeah, fairly recently. I did it. I'm trying to remember a company went public recently. Oh, Zulily went public recently and I read their S1.
Man, I haven't been looking through those Edgar documents in like 7 years. It's crazy.
And you know what? Nothing's changed.
Yeah, it hasn't, except maybe the way you look them up online, which is nice. So we'll link up to the full, if you really are a geek like Bill and I are, we'll link up to the prospectus in the show notes so you can go check it out. But quick history of Alibaba. So Alibaba was founded by a guy named Jack Ma, and he was an English teacher. He founded it in 1919. $1.99. And I believe the original investment was, the original company focused on kind of what I think in the US Alibaba is most well known for, which is their Alibaba.com. It's a portal where US businesses can source products and connect with Chinese manufacturers. I think in the mid-2000s, they got an investment from Yahoo for about $1 billion. So Yahoo bought a big stake in them. They ended up selling, I believe, a lot of that stake, or Alibaba bought a lot of it back, and they're worth tremendously more than that now. And of course, they just went and IPO'd, biggest in history. They sold for, you know, $25 billion of shares on the in the IPO. I think about $8 billion of that was money the company received. So that's money that they have in their war chest to be able to go buy things. And the rest was money that shareholders sold. So the company didn't get that, even though it was part of the IPO. So in terms of market cap, it's, you know, it's enormous. It's $218 billion. And, you know, you compare that to Amazon, $148 billion. It's crazy. You know, so they're just an enormous company. Bill, you think about the investment Yahoo made for $1 billion for the company. And I think they owned close to 50%, if not more than, maybe it was even 3/4.
They did. Yeah.
You know, oh man, I mean, that's...
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up the Yahoo. I just read an article. It was a profile of Jerry Yang. He's the CEO of Yahoo, or the founder of Yahoo, the ex-CEO of Yahoo, who was ousted a couple times. But he was the one, he got to be, it was a, basically a background of how he got to be friends with Jack Ma and how the investment in Alibaba came about and kind of the whole saga. The interesting thing is, so they invested, as you said, about $1 billion. And then probably, I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago, Yahoo was kind of in trouble. Jerry Yang had been ousted as CEO and the board wanted to raise some cash. And so they went, they sold, decided to sell some of the Alibaba stake. They sold it at $13 a share and Jerry Yang was adamantly against it, but there was nothing he could do. So they sold it at $13 a share. Alibaba, as you just mentioned, is now trading north of $90 a share. So Jerry Yang was a little bit upset about that. They retained about half their stake, but they sold about half, you know, like billions of dollars at $13 a share. And the interesting thing is even the half of the original stake that Yahoo still retains, if you look at Yahoo's market cap, the value, like the percentage of Alibaba that they own is worth more than the entire Yahoo market cap. So basically Yahoo Core is free and the only value in Yahoo is their remaining investment in Alibaba.
That's insane. That has some pretty crazy implications. Like, I mean, you think about what happens. So they do still have a sizable investment in Alibaba.
Yes,
is that right?
They do.
If they ever spin that off, it's interesting. You could look at it as either they spin that off and Yahoo is doomed, or there's a lot of value there that maybe Yahoo isn't getting recognized for.
There's a couple hedge funds agitating for that right now, actually, and have been for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cool. I didn't know that. Thanks, Bill. One of the things I love about the company, I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but their mission is really interesting. Like you think about Amazon, and I alluded to this in the podcast with Drew this month, but Amazon really is kind of seen as more of a small business killer than an empowerer. And if reading through the prospectus, you know, right in there, their mission from the founder is, you know, they say their mission is to make it easy to do business everywhere. And our proposition is simple. We want to help small businesses grow by solving their problems through internet technology. We fight for the little guy. And since our founding in 99, we've helped millions of small businesses to achieve a brighter future. And just obvious, I mean, we're going to kind of get into a little bit more, is Alibaba really going to be a threat to Amazon? In the short run, definitely not. But it's kind of refreshing to see such an enormous e-commerce company kind of taking a stance so opposite of the most entrenched company in e-commerce in America. It's really cool.
I'm so glad you called that out. I think that's like one of the biggest differences between Alibaba and Amazon. I mean, if you cruise through the e-commerce fuel private forum or any number of forums, you know, folks that are selling online, you'll find a ton of stories about Amazon just screwing them over hard, you know, suspending their, you know, they have one bad customer experience and Amazon yanks their whole account. Amazon protects the customer so aggressively to the detriment of the small businesses that sell on Amazon a lot of the times, I think. And it's interesting to see that Alibaba is really taking the businesses side. And I think it's pretty emblematic of the difference in Chinese and US culture. Because here in the US, we have this very, the customer's always right centric attitude. But in China, it's much more of a buyer beware, anything goes, you know, kind of screw people if you can do it. It's not perceived as immoral over there. It's much more of a personal responsibility culture, I think. And you can kind of see it in Alibaba's mission statement versus Amazon.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting too as they come to the US more to see how long, hopefully that I would love to see, you know, in 10 years to see that really come through in the culture of the company and how they operate. But you think about Google, right? I've been pretty vocal, especially the last couple of months, about some of my agitations towards Google and some of their updates. You know, what's their mantra? It's don't be evil, right? And I think in the early days, nobody would have challenged that at all. And now it's, you know, you can have a reasonable debate about whether how well they're living up to that mm-hmm. mantra. So that'll be, hopefully they'll stick with it through the long run. Want to get into the different segments about Alibaba, again, the different things that they do. And so I touched at the top, Alibaba.com, again, just for clarity, that's the B2B portal where you can go if you want to, you know, source products and connect with manufacturers in China. That's where you go, Alibaba.com. I believe it's free for consumers to sign up. I think the suppliers, the manufacturers have to pay a listing fee to get on there. And that was the initial business model that was used to found the company in 1999, and they grew from there. They also have a company or a segment of it called AliExpress. And that's really a way for US consumers to buy direct from factories at smaller quantities. So if a supplier or a manufacturer in China has a bunch of extra stuff, but it's kind of either it's discontinued or it's last year's, or for whatever reason, they can't really sell it to businesses. It's a way consumers can buy direct. And Bill, I don't know what you've heard about it, but just reading through a couple, really, I mean, this is pretty small number of data points, but I haven't heard a lot of wonderful experiences from consumers in terms of buying stuff off of AliExpress.
I haven't either. I think a large bit of it too is that it typically ships from China. So you've got like a 3 or 4 week wait to get something. And then if it's not right, like you paid such a low price for it, they just don't care at all. You know, I think it's, again, sort of that buyer beware. Like you want to roll the dice. It's really cheap. Maybe you get something nice. Maybe you won't.
Yeah. And consumers are probably not going to do the diligence that a business would buying larger volumes as well.
So, right.
Yeah. So that is, you know, that's kind of the Alibaba in name division. But that's really not what's been driving Alibaba's growth. You know, if you look at both of those segments, they really have grown very modestly over the last 2 to 3 years at about 5% per year. And what makes Alibaba such a giant, and what, you know, has brought them to the, you know, just the forefront of the e-commerce world so quickly, is really their e-commerce operations in China. And that has three different parts. The first one is called Taobao Marketplace, the Taobao Marketplace. That's spelled T-A-O-B-A-O, and I'm sure I'll mispronounce that like 3 or 4 times this episode. But that is a consumer-to-consumer site, really similar. Probably the closest thing you could compare it to in the U.S. is eBay. People can list products either in an auction basis or a fixed price, but most of it is fixed price. And then you have Taobao Mall, and that is a B2C, so business-to-consumer version of their marketplace. It's tmall.com, and that's kind of going to be closer to Amazon. So companies in China set up stores where the company sells to the end consumer on Taobao Mall. And then finally, there's Ito. I think it's called Ito. And it's a search engine for online products, kind of like Google Shopping or another comparison shopping engine. So, I mean, if you look at those two, the marketplace and the mall, they make up like $240 billion in volume just in 2013. They're larger, they're twice as large as both Amazon and eBay, and they make up 80% of all online purchases in China. It's insane.
That's insane.
I mean, what's Amazon make up in terms of online purchases in the US? Is it like a quarter, maybe 20%?
Yeah, I think it's like 20 to 30%, which is still preposterous.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, just that is where the big growth is coming from. So, and they've also got a bunch of other stuff. You know, they've got a company called Alipay, which is an escrow-based payment platform. Really, you can kind of compare it to PayPal in a sense, and it's the most popular third-party payment platform in China. They have no transaction fees, and I think just about everyone uses it for, you know, buying 80% of the products that are already being sold online because they're already on Alibaba's platform. So they have that as well. And they also do a bunch of other, you know, they have a ton of different investments in different spaces. Kind of like Amazon, they have a cloud computing division. It's really small. It's very small. It only had like $100 million in sales, and I think in the last year or so. So very small. But they invested in an Uber competitor. The Uber is, of course, the cab app that's kind of really changing the way people hail taxis. Invested in a competitor to Uber called Lyft. They own like half of a Chinese soccer team. They own a media company called China Vision. They're getting into private banking. They're slowly starting to get into retail stores. So they've just, it's crazy how many things that they own and where they have their arms in the economy and in business.
It's crazy. I mean, they're basically a combination of Amazon and eBay together. And then they're trying to eat up, you know, and PayPal, which is owned by eBay. And then they're trying to eat up basically any other sector they can. It's sort of like the, I guess it's also this Asian way of doing business where they see an opportunity, which I really respect, you know, in some ways, and I don't know how they manage, but they see an opportunity and they just go for it. And that's how you have companies like Mitsubishi making cars and TVs and chicken farms. I mean, yeah. You know, these huge conglomerates, and it's like Alibaba, they just want to own the entire internet in China.
It's interesting because, you know, like I mentioned at the top, they started with Alibaba.com, the B2B portal. And I think it was early 2000s. I think it was eBay came in with a competitor, an eBay style competitor in China. And the founder, Jack Ma, he made the pitch really hard at that point to say, hey, we need to compete against these guys. And I believe the board and the investors were like, no, what are you doing? This is not our core competency. You know, it's not B2B. It's completely different. And he made a very, you know, he pretty much said, sorry, we're doing it. And he went in and I think he had no fees on their Taobao marketplace for like 2 or 3 years. He just did it for free and pretty much ran eBay out of business.
Man.
And so captured a ton of market share based on the no fee structure, and eBay went on the wayside, and then they just took off from there.
Interesting. Strong-armed him.
He did, which is actually kind of a little bit reminiscent of Amazon, some of the things.
Yes, it is. Very Bezos-esque. Make no money, eat everybody else's margin.
Exactly. So speaking of margin, quick talk, where do these guys make their money? So in terms of the growth, you'll probably be able to guess this, but they make about 84% of their money comes from commerce within China. So Taobao and Tmall.com, really the e-commerce within the country. 12% comes from international commerce. That's going to be your AliExpress, your Alibaba.com. And then their 4% comes from all the other random things they're doing, cloud computing and running media companies and hosting soccer games and all that kind of stuff. So, and one of the things that's really fascinating, this stood out to me, is looking at their profit margins. And it's a little tricky to look at these, especially relative to, say, like Amazon, because looking at their financials, they don't report, I believe, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe Amazon, they kind of look at their financials using something called GMV, which is gross merchandise volume. But, you know, Alibaba looks at it from the fee revenue they collect. But their margins are, I mean, in 2011, they were 27%, 2012, 24%, 2013, 44%, 2014. I could have been reading the S1 wrong, or maybe I missed something, but from what I saw, they listed a net profit margin of 78%, you know, which is crazy. And you look at
that's crazy.
It's just, it's insane. You don't even hear about that.
Well, you know, that's software margins is what that is. You know, that's, you can't do that if you're selling stuff. Like, you got to be selling software.
Yeah, something that scales really well. And it's just, it's even still though, I mean, even if you look at software margins for software companies, I don't think they're even, you know, I don't think they're at 78%. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's crazy. It's so high.
But I mean, even net profits, just giving you a sense of how much money they make versus Amazon. And granted, you know, we could get into the whole argument about, well, Amazon's investing a lot of their money back into their infrastructure and investments and stuff. But even if you get into that, I still think there's a huge discrepancy. Even if you control for the amount they're plugging back into their business, Alibaba in 2013 earned $3.7 billion, almost $4 billion. And Amazon in 2013 earned $275 million. So Alibaba earned more than 10 times the amount as Amazon did.
That's great. So net profit, more than 10x.
Yeah.
I think you can find those graphs on the internet of Amazon's, you know, 90 billion in sales and like 0%, you know, profit margin. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So it's, I guess the question, Bill, be interesting to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think about them coming to the US? You know, they made a statement, you know, the founder Jack Ma said, hey, we're going to the US, we're going to invest heavily there. Do you think they can disrupt the US market here? And if so, how do you think they could potentially do that?
Ooh, I think it's really tough to attack Amazon. And it's primarily, I think Amazon just has this incredible brand. You know, the trust that the consumer places in Amazon is massive. And I think the US consumer has this inherent mistrust of China. And I think for, you know, your average consumer, my mom, Alibaba equals China, you know, and even just the name Alibaba sounds a little foreign. I think they're going to have a heck of a time going up against Amazon, just from a consumer branding perspective and trust perspective, but also like Amazon's lock-in is huge. Like all of their Prime accounts, however many hundreds of millions of people they have credit card information for already. I've thought this for a long time. I think Amazon has built an almost unassailable fortress, which of course will probably prove to be completely untrue in 3 years, you know, but from where I'm sitting, I don't know who's going to take out Amazon or how. It seems really tough. Now, eBay, I could see it. I could see them eating eBay. Probably, I don't know about PayPal, because again, I think consumers have this mistrust for China when it comes to payments, because, you know, even if you're buying something from a US seller on what's it called, Taobao Marketplace, mm-hmm. you're still, the payment's running through China, or at least perceived to be running through China. I think US consumers are going to be a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard the argument made that Alibaba is, in terms of their impact on the US, it could potentially be seen as not necessarily a full frontal assault on Amazon, but more of a new, easier channel for American businesses to be able to reach the Chinese consumer. You know, you think about what's going to really, where's, and this is something that I think, man, we should do an episode on this in the future, is where the opportunities internationally for e-commerce, because I think there are some interesting ones there. Mm-hmm. You look at the growth in China, and it's so much larger. The market's larger, the growth is larger than the American e-commerce marketplace, which is probably, I still think, where you're having the vast majority of e-commerce transactions in the world. But that's going to be potentially a huge opportunity for American businesses to be able to tap into that market, and who better than Alibaba to be able to benefit from that. So
I totally agree, because you feel like if you're the person who wants to buy something from China or ship internationally, a U.S. business is already, they've gotten comfortable with the China risk, so they don't mind dealing with Alibaba. They want to. They're here to play ball. And, you know, the other, I think the point should be made also, I don't think the Alibaba story should be framed as they can't be successful unless they can compete with Amazon. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, like the majority of e-commerce transactions happen in the United States anyway, and yet Alibaba plays only in China and is bigger than Amazon. So as e-commerce penetrates China, just even capturing that, I think they have their own rocket ship. They could do so much without even leaving China, you know, and still get substantial growth. So I don't think it should be framed as they got to knock off Amazon or they're not viable long term.
Yeah, they haven't. I mean, the model they have is different. I mean, they do take on part of the model in Amazon, in terms of Amazon is a, they sell their own products direct to consumers, but they also are a marketplace for other businesses. But Alibaba, they've never, to my knowledge, they have never been someone who takes inventory. They are completely a platform to enable other people. So it is it's not an apples to apples comparison. They don't have to go head to head, but it'll be interesting, you know, to see what happens. They, you know, obviously, like I mentioned, they played hardball with eBay back in 2000s in China to get market share in that market. Maybe they'll do the same, maybe not with Amazon, but maybe with some of the other big companies. They've got $8 billion in new cash just sitting on their books. They've said they're going to invest heavily in the U.S. And, you know, eBay has been looked at as a potential acquisition. I know Etsy, especially given the fact that they're very pro small business, could be an attractive target. A bunch of big names thrown around. So I'd be really surprised if we're sitting here in 18 months and they haven't made at least one fairly sizable acquisition in the U.S.
That would make a lot of sense, especially now they've got public stock as a currency to do those acquisitions.
Yeah, and stock markets. Speaking of stock, I know you're a big Amazon guy as an investment. I'm a little bit more bearish on the... a little bit more bearish on the investment thesis there long-term in terms of... And we talked about that. But what do you think Alibaba versus Amazon? So, I mean, are you going to be buying any, Bill?
Yes, but I will not be selling my Amazon to do it. Mm. Let me put it that way. I think you make a great point about valuation. Amazon's PE ratio or their EV to EBITDA ratio or any valuation metric that you want to use for Amazon is so large as to be not meaningful. You know, it's infinity or a number that doesn't even make sense. Whereas Alibaba is, you know, valued much more rationally around, I think you said 40 times price to earnings.
Yeah.
And bigger than Amazon with better margins and, you know, has the Chinese market by the tail. So I definitely think it's a good investment. That being said, I don't think I would invest in Alibaba at the expense of investing in Amazon, because I think Andrew and I had a very, very long conversation over some food and a couple drinks at the E-commerce Fuel Live conference a couple weeks ago or a month ago. And it basically came down to the Amazon valuation is crazy, but the stock keeps going up. So I'm on the merry-go-round until the music stops.
So you're saying, yes, I know it's a bubble, but I'm going to ride it all the way to the top.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
I mean, and the reason I say that is because it's been a bubble for years. I mean, Amazon's valuation has been preposterous for years and the stock keeps going up. And I think, you know, you mentioned that, you know, Alibaba's got better margins. Alibaba is bigger. And you could say that for a number of other companies that, you know, Exxon, any of these companies that are bigger and are not enjoying the preposterous valuation that Amazon gets. And this just reinforces my belief that Amazon is this bizarre special case and Jeff Bezos is some sort of voodoo hypnotist with the Wall Street guys because he just keeps convincing them to give him money and to not care that he's not making any in return. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know what they say about when people say it's different this time, right?
It's never different this time.
So let me ask you this. I hear what you're saying. You think they're both potentially attractive. If you could only pick one in some weird hypothetical situation, you could only invest in Alibaba or Amazon. Which one?
Depends a lot on time horizon.
Let's say you've got a 5 to 10 year time horizon.
Alibaba.
Okay. Interesting.
Over 1 year, I would stick with Amazon. Because I think over the next year, Alibaba, they just went public. A bunch of people just got liquid. I think the U.S. stock market is not super comfortable with what the heck is this Alibaba thing. And, I think they're a new public company. Nobody's quite sure what's going on. They're probably, I think, going to make some initial attempts to challenge Amazon and probably not. I mean, it's not a one-year prospect to defeat Amazon. So I think they're going to try and they're going to, you know, it's going to look like they're failing or it's going to look like it's a 10-year project. And I think it might hurt the stock. And in the meantime, Amazon, you know, in the short term, or over the next year at least, I think they'll probably continue to enjoy their bizarrely exempt from reality status as far as valuation goes. So over the next year, I would probably keep my money in Amazon. But over the next 5 to 10 years, I would think as Alibaba begins to make significant inroads in the United States, but also as China begins to modernize, I think it's some stat that like 20% of Chinese citizens have a bank account. You know, which is obviously a prerequisite for buying anything online. So even if Alibaba does nothing, just as their country modernizes and people come online, people get their financial system modernizes, more people get banked in China, more people have access to the internet, e-commerce becomes more of a reality for the billions of people in China. I think Alibaba is going to explode just on the back of that because they're the incumbent. So over the next 5 to 10, I would go Alibaba, but over the short term, I'm sticking with Jeff Bezos.
Nice. Interesting. I agree on the pricing. I think buying Alibaba at 90 right now is probably, I mean, you could probably do it, hold it 10 years. You're probably be in good shape, but I'm going to be looking for opportunities, like you said, where they dip anytime post IPO, because the way IPO works for maybe those aren't familiar with it is the underwriters who wrote it, they actually priced the stock at $68. And so they gave it to all of the people who are their clients at their brokerage firms and things. It was hard to get shares at $68. But then when it opened up on the public market, it jumped up to $90 immediately, which is a huge jump, of course. And so, yeah, I'm going to be looking for where it comes off that high for hopefully we have, not hopefully, but if we have a not unlikely stock correction in the next 12 months, looking at picking up then. But I agree. I like Alibaba for a lot of reasons that you mentioned. So great. Well, man, Bill, maybe we should make this exciting and do something like an Alibaba, an Amazon short buy. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some fun way we could combine betting and investing in
you
these
could
two
definitely
companies.
Do the bets. There's a couple, you know, you do it like you bet a couple bucks that the price will be over a certain value. We should figure out something and we'll make it public and people can track it.
What about this? What if we bet, because you're on the year on horizon, what if we bet that we all take Alibaba for the next year, take Amazon for the next year, and we see who performs better as a percentage increase or decrease over the next year from 1 year from today?
In stock price.
And the loser, what are stakes here?
We could make it... So relatively boring and just say 20 bucks.
let's make it a little more exciting.
We'll have to think.
How about the loser has to buy the other one a really nice steak dinner at the next e-commerce ECF
yes,
live event.
That's perfect.
And has to issue a public apology on the podcast for doubting the wisdom of the other better.
Perfect. That's a great deal. Perfect. All right. It's a deal. Virtual handshake.
Virtual handshake. Wonderful.
October 3rd, 2015. Total investment return. over the next 365 days.
I love it. Great. Well, Bill, it's been fun talking. Thanks so much for chiming in, and looking forward to next time.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thanks.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the E-Commerce Fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the forum at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.